At the beginning of January, 150 immigrants who arrived in the U.S. over the past 2 years, fleeing violence in several Central American countries, were arrested after being declared eligible for deportation. These were mostly mothers and children who turned themselves in at the U.S. border, were sent to immigration jails for processing, and released to the community while awaiting hearings in immigration court to determine if their stories were credible and they would thus be eligible to remain in the U.S. In almost all cases, those picked up did not have legal representation. Rallies to protest the raids by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, a division of Homeland Security, have been held around the country. On January 5th and again on January 11th, a notice signed by a total of 240 groups was sent to both the U.S. Attorney General and the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, stating that many of the immigrants are disabled, as defined by the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, because they suffer from severe trauma. The notice requests that the government suspend ongoing raids pending a review to determine whether the asylum and immigration proceedings that led to these families' removal orders complied with federal disability law. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Swapna Reddy, a third-year student at Yale Law School and an intern with a Workers in Immigrants' Rights Advocacy Clinic at Yale. Here she describes the situation many of these recently arrived immigrants find themselves in, what assistance is being offered, and the government's response to her group's request for suspension of raids and deportation.
What the letter is saying is that these families who have suffered severe trauma and have just developed disabilities, including post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety disorders, and depression, are disabled as defined under the Rehabilitation Act, and the government is required to make reasonable modifications for individuals who are disabled due to this law. And so what we are asking the government to do is to make sure that it identifies families who are disabled under the Rehabilitation Act, that it provides immigration proceedings that are trauma-informed to ensure that these families have an ability to tell their stories, and that it provides counsel for refugee families who are unable to tell their stories because of the severe trauma that they've been exposed to. We are also asking the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice to take these disabilities into account before considering which families to target in raids, which often occur very early in the morning with armed guards coming into families' homes and taking children directly from their beds. They're obviously another source of significant trauma and can exacerbate symptoms. And so we're asking the government to think carefully about the disabilities that these families suffer from and to try to modify its procedures to make sure that it's giving these families a fair chance at their cases.
So what if the government doesn't respond or responds and says it disagrees with you and will proceed to arrest and deport these families? Is a lawsuit the next step?
We hope that this letter is the beginning of an ongoing process to receive modifications for these families to ensure that they are not deported back to dangerous situations for reasons outside of their control. We have not set in stone any ongoing plans because we are waiting to see how the government will respond to our requests. In the past, we have brought suit against the government for situations in which we believe the government was in violation of the law. However, we have not made any substantive plans thus far.
So, Swapna Reddy, it seems like you had no trouble getting lots of groups, hundreds of groups, to sign on to your letter. It seems like it really touched a nerve.
I mean, this really is an issue that touches on a lot of problematic areas. We're talking about thousands of Central American families. The average profile is a very young single mother with young children. Many thousands of these families have been held in immigration detention centers. So as refugees who came to the U.S. and presented themselves to border immigration officials, they were then held in jail where they had limited access to medical care. And these are many of these women and even children are victims of severe sexual violence and gang and gender-based violence. And so there really are a pretty large number of groups and issue areas that are really concerned with the treatment of these families, whether it is women's rights groups, disability rights groups, faith-based and labor groups. There's an enormous amount of intersectionality on the problems that are affecting these families.
So is the government agnostic on whether or not these people have suffered what they say they've suffered, but the Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials say these immigrants just didn't follow the rules and therefore are eligible for deportation?
Yes. Well, the government, either because they believe that the families did not state a valid refugee claim or because the family simply did not show up to court or had an incompetent lawyer who didn't actually make their case fully, they are now saying that the families are eligible to be removed from the United States. And we are arguing that without reasonable modifications and without allowing families to present their cases in a way that is trauma-informed, the families have not actually had a fair shot. And just to provide two anecdotes about the strength of these families' cases, if they do have competent counsel, there was a detention center in Artesia, New Mexico, that was opened up to incarcerate many of these families. And in that context, immigration advocates took on 15 cases. They finished them through the conclusion, and they were able to win 14 of them, and the sole 15th case is on appeal currently. And in Texas, in the nation's largest family detention center, which has 2,400 beds, another student, Conchita Cruz, a professor from Columbia Law School, Elora Mukherjee, and I created a national system to ensure universal representation to every family that was forced to proceed through their entire immigration case while detained. And in that context, we did not get to choose which cases we took on. We just took every case that the government forced to go to trial in jail, and we have been able to win every single one of those cases. So we do believe that these families with competent counsel, the vast majority of them have winning claims and would be able to win their refugee status in the United States. The issue is the procedures are not trauma-informed and that these families often have incompetent or no counsel.
That was Swapna Reddy of the Workers and Immigrants' Rights Advocacy Clinic at Yale Law School. Find more information on recent ICE deportations and immigrant advocates' response by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.